scripture reading this morning from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 to 28. And note also that our text this morning is quite small. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Verses 17 and 18. But we will also need the bulletin this morning because you're going to be reading responsibly a number of times. That's in the bulletin. And if you haven't gotten one, please raise your hand if you need a bulletin. Or go to the front and get some. Yeah, go to the back. Okay. So let's hear God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, bless this word to our hearing this morning. And bless us as we consider the very nature of prayer and the very nature of thanksgiving. We pray that you would open our hearts to this word and strengthen us, encourage us, bless the preaching of this word as we have heard it read now. We pray your blessing on this word as we have it preached. We pray now that you would hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are several parts to this sermon this morning. And if we've already noticed in the bulletin, they are the parts of the Lord's Prayer. It says, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And give thanks in all circumstances means that what circumstances are there? What are all the circumstances? And the circumstances are, as we've learned in our children's catechism, what is prayer? Prayer is asking God for things he promises to give. Asking God for things he promises to give. It doesn't mean necessarily that I want that CD, therefore I'm going to pray for it. You may not get it. Or I want that snowmobile. Maybe we don't need it. You can think of a lot of things we really don't need in our lives. But there are a lot of things that God knows that we need. If you want a list of the things that we know that we need, we look at the Lord's Prayer. And that's what we're going to do this morning. The Lord's Prayer, it begins with a simple statement, Our Father who art in heaven. For us, we have the most wonderful privilege and the reason for thanksgiving. And that is that God may be praised, that we have a Father who loves us, a Father who cares for us, a Heavenly Father who will never leave us or forsake us, a Father who is our Creator, a Father who created us after His own image, a Father who loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us on the cross. a Father who has come to us, that Jesus would say, I and the Father are one. And so we come to a Father who disciplines us also, our Father in heaven, a heavenly Father. Where is heaven? Well, we don't have to talk very long to get to heaven. God is right here. He's everywhere present. We can pray to him. He hears us. We can talk to him as a father. And that's one thing a Christian has that no one else can do, that we cannot do apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came so that we could call God our Father. And he sent his Holy Spirit so that we might be able to call him just that in Romans 8, Abba, Father. Give thanks to God that he is your eternal heavenly Father who made you and cares for you. All of you have come from him, and he is one that will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He loved you, that he would send his son Jesus Christ for you so you can call him Father. The Lord's Prayer, after its beginning, has six petitions, six things that we ask the Lord for, and six for the reasons we can thank our God. These six, of course, the first three have to do with God himself, his power, his glory, his ability, his kingship. And then the second three have to do with what we ask him, the things we ask of him, daily bread, forgiveness, the care from the devil himself and temptation. In Psalm 138, David says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Consider those two things, your name and your word. These are the things that God has exalted above all else. So we have in the third commandment, don't take his name in vain. God's name is precious. He's exalted that name above everything else. He's given himself many names to reveal himself in the scripture. The very first name is God himself, Elohim. Then in the second chapter, we hear the word Jehovah, or Yahweh. And then we hear combinations of it through other parts of Scripture. We hear the word El Elyon, God Most High, as Melchizedek mediates between Abraham and God. El Shaddai, God Almighty, God the Existent One. And Jehovah, or Yahweh, the self-existent I Am. And Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You often think that might not be a bad way to look at Providence Church, provide. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. Or Shepherd, Jesus, Lord, Christ, I Am. The Isaiah 9, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. These are all names for God. God upholds his name. His name reveals who he is, and it's precious to him. How do we use that name? Hallowed be thy name. Give thanks to God that he has revealed that name to you. Give thanks to our glorious God who revealed that name to us. So we give thanks to our God because he is our Father in heaven. We give thanks to God because he has shown to us himself in a glorious name that he has revealed in his word. We give thanks to God now as we look at his kingdom. He sets us in a kingdom. He doesn't just give nations on this earth. Nations are formed by men. Nations all over the earth in which men have either turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, because of other reasons, or they have fought against the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, the kingdom of God, the one society that will never change, the one society that will be continuous throughout this history and in the life to come. The kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ says as he leaves Nazareth in Matthew 4, verses 13 to 17. And he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region of the shadows of death, on them the light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Even in the northern part of Israel, in the northern part of Judah, in the land of Galilee, Galilee was considered a lesser part to the Jews who were in Jerusalem. And they would even say that with regard to Nazareth. Could anything good come out of Nazareth? But that's where Jesus' work was. A number of Gentiles in the area, near the Gentiles, and Jesus was there, not just for the Jews, but ultimately that the Gentiles might be taken in as well. A kingdom made up not only of Jews, but also Gentiles. Kingdom that's made up of people of all nations. Where the people of Israel would come to God at the base of Mount Sinai, having gone through the Red Sea, having battled the Amalekites. And now they're at the Mount Sinai, and there God presents himself to them. "You will indeed obey my voice," he says in Exodus 19, "and keep my covenant. You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for the earth is mine, and you shall be able be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." But it's Peter who takes words that are very similar to this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, and he talks here now to the church, to you and me. He says, "But you are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." It's a kingdom of light, not a kingdom of darkness. It's a kingdom in which the light of the gospel is in our hearts and shines out from us. The kingdom of God is within you, as Jesus says. He's also telling us that the kingdom of God is not just those who are great excellers in life and really are promoters of themselves. He says, no, listen, my brothers, James 2, verse 5, "My beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him?" The kingdom is made up of those who are poor. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says in the Beatitudes. Of those who are hurting, God takes them and makes them to be his own. We see the power of our God. We see the gentleness of our Father. We see the goodness of our God as he takes all people from all areas of life, all strata of life. And so he says in 2 Peter, "For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance and to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Be part of his kingdom. Whether rich or poor, whether great gifts or whether few gifts, God uses every one of you in his kingdom. He uses you for the purpose of his glory. Your kingdom come. So we pray it. We reach out to others that your kingdom will come, that others will come into the kingdom. And come a day, there will come a time when the last one will enter into the kingdom of heaven and Jesus Christ will return. So let's give thanks to God for his kingdom already here. And the kingdom that will be accomplished for its coming. And the kingdom that is the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal in the heavens. What a blessing to know that our God cares for us, that we're part of a kingdom. We didn't have to vote for it. We didn't have to have an election for who's our head. We know Jesus Christ is our head. There's only one who could defeat the devil, and that is him. But the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, and for which we have reason to give thanks in our lives, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a hard one to pray, is it not? There are times we're very happy to pray it, because God has dealt with us very nicely and has wonderfully, has provided much for us. We can sit at our Thanksgiving tables and have much to eat. But then there are times in our lives when suddenly health may suddenly be pulled away from us. Or a loved one's pulled away from us. Or an accident happens. And we don't know what to say. And perhaps we might even start to shake our fists toward heaven saying, what have you done? And yet the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray, thy will be done. God's purpose in our life is good and true. He works out everything for good. We know the story of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph, who was sold by his brothers as a slave because they didn't want him around anymore, goes to Egypt and he's a slave there, thrown in prison. God stayed with him. Remember the story of Joseph tells the answer to the dream and provides Egypt with plenty in a time of famine? So much so that his father Jacob and his brothers have to come down to get some of the food. We know the story, how the story goes, and he finally reveals himself to them. They're quite afraid of him and afraid of what he might do in response. And his answer is, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. God intended it for good. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. God is the one who is in control of all things. He made all things. And he has a purpose for everything. Ephesians 1:11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Thy will be done. God works out everything according to the counsel of his will. I wouldn't have a lovely wife if it weren't for God's purpose. Children. Church. All of these things are God's will. God has purposed them in some form or other. Now how do we live with it? Thy will be done. Even as a heavenly Father, he does treat us as children. There are times that he does chasten us. discipline us. We sometimes wonder, is it because God doesn't like us? And the answer in Hebrews, of course, is no, it's because he loves us. No father disciplines their children unless his children unless he loves them and wants them to grow up to be like Christ. Now, there are two different wills of God, and there are some things we cannot search. An easy verse to memorize is simply this, and the place is easy to memorize, Deuteronomy 29, 29. Some people have just tossed that one back at me one time without even saying it, Deuteronomy 29, 29, because that's their hope. Now, what is it? And that's simply this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong to God. We don't always understand what God has purposed for us. But God has purposed for us that which is right and good. Some of his will is very secret. We don't know all of it. But that which we do know is for us to obey and to find comfort. And so let's give thanks to God, whose will accomplishes everything for our good. Let's turn in our bulletins. Responsive reading, Psalm 103. After a funeral, I read this passage. It's not just for funerals, but and the mother told me that her son, that's the first psalm he memorized. I about fell over because I think, you know, Psalm 117, two verses. Psalm 123, that's simple enough, easy enough, but Psalm 103, that's more than a few verses. But he memorized that. That was the first one he memorized. But Psalm 103 speaks so beautifully of God's purpose for us. It's a Psalm of David. Let's read responsibly. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children, to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removes our transgressions from us.
As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass, he flourishes like a flower of the field.
For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more.
But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children.
To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all.
Bless the Lord, O you, his angels. You mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word.
Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will.
Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
So if you looked at the first three statements and the petitions of the Lord's Prayer of Thy hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We come to the second three petitions, the latter three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, which are aimed more at our particular needs that we have before him. And the first thing we talk about is our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. As I said at the beginning, in the first catechism, or the children's catechism, the question 109, what is prayer? And the answer is, prayer is praising God, giving thanks for all his blessings, and asking him for the things he has promised in the Bible. Asking for things he has promised in the Bible. And here we have the daily bread. Yes, we may ask God for the things that help our lives. Yes, we may ask God for things that promote our lives and our families. We may ask God for people in our lives that will be helpful for the care of our families and our care of ourselves. God provides all of these things, even as daily bread, we might say. Not just food on our table, but the government over us. The care of those who do provide care for us, the friends in the church who are there to encourage us. Give us this day our daily bread. We give thanks to God for all of these things. R.C. Sproul says this in a quote from Table Talk. This petition of the Lord's Prayer then teaches us to come to God in a spirit of humble dependence, asking him to provide what we need and to sustain us from day to day. We are not given license to ask for great riches, but we are encouraged to make our needs known to him, trusting that he will provide. Give thanks to God, who provides everything you need. Pray to him with thanksgiving, and he will provide for you. The fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is an accurate translation. And I would point out that there are many others that churches that will use the word trespasses. That's not a wrong translation, not a bad translation, because shortly after the Lord's Prayer, right after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus does reinforce this petition. And there he uses the word trespasses. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, twice in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus does this kind of thing. Right after he says something, he then emphasizes a part of it. He doesn't emphasize the whole Lord's Prayer here, but he does emphasize this petition of forgiveness. Forgive one another as I forgive you. And he does the same thing as we look at the Beatitudes right after the last Beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Then he turns around and says at the very next verse, and you know it's not the same as the Beatitudes because he changes the person. Blessed are you. Not blessed are those, but blessed are you. When people persecute you, insult you, say all kinds of evil things against you falsely. Now there is a sense in which Jesus is emphasizing something of that point as he talks about it twice. But forgiving one another, what a tremendous thing that is to forgive one another. God forgives us. That's perhaps the point in the Lord's Prayer that we kind of wait for, when we can say, Lord, forgive us. Because I look at myself, I look at my sins, and I know, and Martin Luther was right in the first of his 95 theses that I always have to be in a state of repentance. I'm never past that. But Jesus doesn't just say that, he says also, as I forgive others. Now, is that something I can whoop up in myself? The answer is no. That's something we get by the grace of God also. By the grace of God, we do forgive others. We don't hang on to a grudge and just keep it and keep it and keep it, but we forgive. We show love to others. We show care for one another. We show a unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. How many times must a person sin against us before we don't have to forgive? Well, you've read that, haven't you? You know that I'm not just pulling that off the top of my head. The apostles said that very thing. If your brother, Jesus says it, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. If he doesn't listen, bring one or two others with you. If he doesn't listen, then tell it to the church. In other words, you're not the final arbiter. And the point of the idea of discipline is not in order to remove people from the church. That is a point, but that's not the point. The point of discipline is that they might turn, they might repent, they might show the grace of Jesus Christ in their lives. Jesus says, truly I say to you in Matthew 18, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on anything, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among you. And Peter came up and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Many as seven times. I like the different translations of this. And, I'll just take the King James. I like it better because it's bigger lumber. Some say it's 70 times, not just seven times, but 70 times. The King James says 70 times seven, 490 times. And so in my life, I have this notebook here. Let's see. I'm up to 152. Okay. 490. I have a while yet. And that's not what Jesus is trying to tell us. What Jesus is trying to tell us here is that in a parable right after that, where he talks about a servant who had built up a debt. I'll keep the idea of debt here because that's what the word is here in the prayer. What we owe to God. Where we failed to live up to what God has called us to be. And the debt he owes is 10,000 talents. Now, for us, that's neither here nor there, but a talent is about 75 pounds, and a talent is a talent of gold and 75 pounds, and 10,000 of these talents, you know, that's a lot of money. I mean, we're talking with a lot of zeros behind the number. And the man pleaded with the king, and the king forgave. And finally, freed from that debt, he went out and he went to a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. Okay, I know I'm using strange words here. That's what the Bible's using. A denarii is basically a one day's wage. Now, 100 denarii is still quite a bit of money in our terms, is it not? That's over 3 months of daily wages. And he says, pay what you owe. After he's just been forgiven. Millions. Pay what you owe. And he's heard the same words back to him in this parable. He couldn't pay back. And he sent him to the debtor's prison to pay back. The others heard about it. They told the king, and the king brought the man back again. Anyway, the man was put himself in prison. It's the Lord who works forgiveness in our hearts. It's the grace of God that works that forgiveness. Pray for that grace. Pray for that blessing. Pray for the idea of peace among one another and care for one another. Forgive us our debts. The awful payment for our debt. What was the payment for our debt? What was the multiple zeros behind that? And you can't even calculate that because Jesus Christ had our sins laid on him. On the cross, he paid for our sins fully. He took all of our sins away. He paid for them. And our sins were buried with him in the tomb. That God would never again look upon us. So we could say, like we just read in Psalm 103, that you have not treated us according to our sins, but according to your mercies. That's beautiful. What a blessing the Bible has. What a reason for thanksgiving. To thank our God. How many times must we ask for forgiveness if somebody, or how many times must we forgive? Luke 17 gives us another story, and that story is of where Jesus, and it's again, the apostles come up to him, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, repent. And the apostles said, increase our faith, please, increase our faith. He says, so this is what increasing your faith looks like. You're a servant. You just came out from the field. You've done a hard day's work. And your master says, I'm getting company tonight. Get me a meal prepared. No, you can't look on your daytime. You can't look on that. You go take care of that meal. And the man does it. Jesus says that we have faith as a grain of mustard seed. So the servant does what he is commanded. So also when you have done all that you were commanded, we are unworthy servants, he says. We have only done what was our duty. Well, that's a put down, isn't it? And yet that's what it is. We've done what we should. What has Jesus done for us? He went to the cross for us. He came to earth to live the life that, well, the life of a human being among sinners. And yet never having sinned. The last petition of the Lord's Prayer is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's the last petition in your many of your Bibles, the newer translations, that is the end of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. In the King James Version, there is a section that's added, and we'll look at that in just a moment. And it's a good addition. I mean, there are some good things about it, and it's not unscriptural to pray that closing of the Lord's Prayer. But the last petition as such that we call upon our God to answer is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'll just say this rather quickly because the point is very clear. And Joel Naderhood, who is a former Back to God Hour preacher on the radio, made a statement concerning this last statement. He says, it's the end of the Lord's Prayer because we're going back into the world right after we pray. and what's waiting for us in the world. The devil is waiting for us in the world. The world is waiting for us. The world and everybody else in this world who want us to be something other than what we are here and thankful for what we are here. And so the last thing we pray for in the Lord's Prayer as a thing for ourselves is that the Lord will stay with us and continue to watch over us, continue to keep us in his care. The devil is waiting. We go back from worship back into the world. But Christ is there. And we need his presence, and we thank God for his presence. We thank God in our prayers. So we've looked at what it is to thank our God in terms of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, we have these beautiful words that we say, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And again, these are not necessarily in the original, but they are not out of place by any means. All you have to do is take thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. Take these three and look again. The kingdom, thine is the kingdom. Power, thy will be done. Glory, thine, hallowed be thy name. You have this, it ends the way it begins. Beautiful way, beautiful statement in the Lord's Prayer. Thine is the kingdom. Nor is it out of place in the scripture. David himself prayed in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 13. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. He said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." There it is. Kingdom, power, glory in David's prayer. Let us thank God for bringing us into his glorious presence through the sacrifice of his Son. And that he has worked in us the powerful working of his Holy Spirit that we might repent and believe on him. We do have a Father in whose presence we will rejoice for eternity. That's what the Lord says. Hallowed be thy name. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of your word. Bless us now as we have this word sealed to us and the covenant sealed to us in the sign of the sacrament. Bless the elements to that end, Lord. We ask that you hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.